Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. I'd like to begin reading at verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, and I'll read all the way on down to verse 14. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Listen to this verse. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Like you please to make note of verse 14, which refers to the way that we distinguish good from evil. I want you to please notice it's not always real easy to distinguish good from evil. According to this passage, one has to constantly be acquainted with the meat of God's Word to distinguish certain types of evil from good. This evening, what I'm going to do is give a critique on a Catholic priest named Padre Pio. A number of months ago, probably about a year and a half ago, I was going door to door with someone, and the lady that we spoke with, she said she was trusting in Padre Pio for her salvation. Jump with me, please, to Jude 23. Little small book of Jude, immediately preceding the book of Revelation. Verse 23. In fact, let me read verses 22 and 23. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. We are commanded to snatch the unsaved from the fire, and we definitely can play a role in their salvation. Let me show you something else. Let's jump over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one, this is the Antichrist, will be in accordance with the work of Satan displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. I want you to see that Satan is able to produce miracles, signs, and wonders. Satan is able to do that. Jump with me to Revelation chapter 20, verse 3. Let me read verses 1 through 3. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Listen to verse 3. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. Satan is the master deceiver. And we find out right here, in conjunction with the scripture I read from 2 Thessalonians, that he is able, through counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, to deceive people. And I would like you please to bear all this in mind when I deliver this information on Padre Pio. Let me refer you to another passage in Acts 17, verse 28. Paul is witnessing to some philosophers at Athens, and this is what he said, Acts 17, 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are all his offspring. Did you know the Apostle Paul quoted a heathen poet? Paul knew what the heathens believed. Hopefully tonight, after we finish this short study, you will know what Padre Pio believed and what was accomplished in his ministry so that you can be more acquainted like the Apostle Paul to help persuade people to trust in Jesus exclusively for their salvation. Not only do we see that Paul knew about this heathen poet named Aratus, but we see in 1 Corinthians 15:33 he knew about another heathen poet named Menander. And then in Titus 1:12 he's writing a young pastor, Titus, and he referred to a heathen prophet, a false prophet named Epimenides. He quoted him. He said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. That's a quote from a false prophet. Paul knew what the heathen poets and the false prophets said. And of course, the Apostle Paul certainly had his mind on soul winning. And if we're really serious, we need to know some of the things that some of these leaders, spiritual leaders, have said, like Joseph Smith Jr. of the Mormons, Edgar Cayce, Padre Pio, and this man especially is one that interests me. He was known as a stigmatist. He had a stigmata. I don't know if you know what that is or not. but it's a wound in his hand, in fact, both of his hands, in his feet, in his side, and even on his shoulder. And I brought with me the Catholic Word Book, and I would like to give you their definition of a stigmata. Listen to this. Marks of the wounds suffered by Christ in his crucifixion, in hands and feet by nails, and side by the piercing of a lance. Some persons, called stigmatists, have been reported as recipients or sufferers of marks like these. The Church, however, has never issued an infallible declaration about their possession of any, even in the case of St. Francis of Assisi. Anybody ever hear of him? Did you know he had these same marks as Padre Pio? Even in the case of St. Francis of Assisi, whose stigmata seem to be the best substantiated and may be commemorated in the Roman Rite liturgy, 90% of some 300 reputed stigmatists have been women. Judgment regarding the present significance and manner of causation of stigmata would depend, among other things, on irrefutable experimental evidence. Okay, so the Catholic saint Francis of Assisi, Padre Pio, and Teresa Newman all had these wounds. In fact, if you would check up on St. Francis of Assisi after he fasted, allegedly for 40 days and 40 nights, God rewarded him with stigmata. And he was then entitled to suffer and help pay for our salvation. That's what the Catholic Church teaches. Through our sufferings, it's like a bank account in heaven. Padre Pio lived to be 81 years of age, and he just recently died in 1968. Now, that is important to me because I don't mean to sound offensive, but there are only two sources of power, and we know that from studying the scriptures. It's either the Almighty God or it's the God of this age known as Satan. And I think I won't have any trouble persuading anyone that it's the power of the devil that was behind Padre Pio. So that tells me something immediately, that the devil is certainly in the deceiving business in our day and age. This man just recently died, not very long ago. And wait till you hear some of the things that went on in this man's ministry. It's absolutely incredible. Well, probably about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I did some study in the occult. And they have some very unusual things that occur in the occult. I don't know how many here have ever studied anything in the occult. But many of the things I remember reading about, I see reoccurring in this man's ministry. He had great devotion to St. Francis of Assisi. At the age of 5, he dedicated his life not to Jesus, but to St. Francis of Assisi. And years after that, he became a stigmatist. One of the most remarkable miracles or wonders in this man's ministry is something that's known as bilocation. I don't know if you know what that is or not, but it's being in two places at the same time. We might say, well, that's impossible. You just can't be in two places at the same time, and you're absolutely right, except if there's supernatural power enabling you to do that. And not only did Padre Pio have the ability to be in two places at the same time, but so did the Catholic canonized saint Alphonsus of Liguori, or Alphonsus de Liguori. And if you know anything about Alphonsus de Liguori, if you were here when we had the soul winners meeting on the subject of Roman Catholicism, he was certainly one that was sold out on Mary. He wrote a book entitled The Glories of Mary, and it was absolutely incredible the things that he said about the Virgin Mary. And he had the same ability as Padre Pio to be at two places at the same time. People actually seen him in one place at the same exact time that he was seen in another place. And that's a phenomena that's not all that uncommon in the occult. We scratch our heads and say, that doesn't sound like a spiritual gift that's available to me. It's not, because it's not a gift from the Holy Ghost. But remember what I referred to before, this passage from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that through satanic counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, people will be deceived. This certainly is a remarkable, remarkable sign, remarkable wonder. I would like to deliver much of my critique on the ministry of Padre Pio tonight from this book entitled Padre Pio the Stigmatist. I'd like to read from page 20. Listen to this. The healing of the sick, the conversion of sinners, the return of the unfaithful, the gift of scrutinizing and of bilocation are not the only signs of divine predilection granted with so much largesse to our Padre. He possesses the gift of invisibility. How about that? Did you ever hear the gift of invisibility? You have to understand when you're reading material like this, the angle or the perspective that it's being written. This is written, obviously, from a Catholic point of view. And it refers to here, of course, the conversion of sinners. Let me jump down to that before we touch on some of these other ones. There was an atheist that Padre Pio helped to convert to the faith. And, of course, the faith from this perspective would be the Catholic Church. I haven't met very many people that ever said to me that they were trusting in Padre Pio for their salvation, except maybe one or two in my entire life. But in spite of that, a lot of this material tonight I'm sharing with you, you can use it elsewhere. I'd like to quote from page 83. If I could make known all the names of the persons whom Padre Pio converted, this book would become rather voluptuous. I shall touch upon but a few of the most famous conversions. Then he cites a man, and this man is quoted as being a Mason. He said that I was an atheist. I believed in nothing. Padre Pio has given me life under all aspects. Today I attend Mass every Sunday. It gives me pleasure when my children, before eating, make the sign of the cross to thank God who gives us our daily bread. Today I receive the Blessed Sacrament, and I am happy when God enters my body. And he's referring to God entering his body when he receives communion. They believe in transubstantiation. Okay, now I want you to see how Padre Pio converted this atheist to the faith. Of course, from that perspective that it's written, it would be to the Catholic Church. And this is what we read over here on page 88. Whoever has done evil must do penance. I have done evil by having been a Mason. The penance that I do today, and this is for me a real joy, is to persuade my former associates to return to the bosom of the Mother Church. So at least in part, according to this message on Padre Pio, he converted sinners by having this atheist persuade his Mason friends to get out of the lodge and come back to the Mother Church, the Roman Catholic Church. This man had a tremendous influence on a lot of people. Because of his sincerity, I really believe he was sincere, and especially because of all these wonders, because of these signs, because of these miracles in his ministry. This man, in 1947, after he gave a young girl her first Holy Communion, made the sign of the cross with the same hand that he held the host in, over her blind eyes, and she was healed. And what makes this so remarkable is the fact that she didn't have any pupils. No pupils. And the doctors examined her eyes and said, well, this is a miracle of miracles. That's impossible. No one can see without pupils. Yet she sees, and she has no pupils. So you can see why a lot of people would certainly give an ear to what this man has to say. It would certainly draw a lot of attention. That happened over here in our community. This happened in 1947. The only bad thing about this, according to Padre Pio, on page 18 of this little packet of photostats, I'd like to read under the caption of a picture, he's before about a 10-foot tall picture of Mary holding the baby Jesus, and this is what we read. Padre Pio praying under the gaze of St. Mary of Graces, the patroness of the monastery, where he spent some 50 years of his religious life. When people attributed miracles to him, he pointed to her, for he recognized the fact that all graces come through Mary. And we're putting him to the test. The Bible says that we're to put everyone to the test. We're putting him and his ministry to the test. And he's saying that these healings that occurred in his ministry was channeled through Mary, one of the things that he taught in his life. Of course, we already found out what he had to say about penance and how this man was to receive salvation and conversion. And I can give you a quote where he prophesied the future erection of a monastery. He was able to give a prophecy, and it came to pass. Isn't that amazing? But it shouldn't be too alarming to us, because in Acts 16, we find out that the demons, to some degree, know what the future is. As far as healings are concerned, I would like to just point out one other little issue here before we move on, and that would be that he prayed for a childless couple They tried for a number of years, about 5 years, to have children without success. Then after he prayed, they had a child. So you see all the things going on in his ministry, and especially with the healings and the fact that he had the ability to be two places at once. And listen to this. Strange as this might sound, he had the odor of perfume around him. And in fact, sometimes even when he wasn't around and his presence allegedly was there, there would be the smell of a certain type of flower. Let me read something to you here. The perfume which emanates from Padre Pio is especially the odor of violets, lilies, roses, incense, or even fresh tobacco. This is on page 30. So he would emanate certain types of fragrances. Among the various supernatural gifts of Padre Pio, I give precedence to the gift of perfume. Did you ever hear of the gift of perfume? This we find in his cures, in his conversions, in the discernment of souls, in prophecies, in short, in every one of his supernatural acts. The perfume is an announcement or the confirmation that he has heard our prayer or request. So he has the ability, don't ask me how the host of demons are able to do that, but we're learning something about what the devil can do. I want you to see something else, and this was very alarming to me when I read this. I realized that this isn't scripture, so this isn't necessarily true, but it could be true, and it seems to be true from what I learned in the past in studying the occult. Like the quote from page 6. Now, this is at a point in time when he was a monk. Father Pio's cell was often visited in his absence, and he would find everything in dire confusion, books torn, blankets strewn on the floor, and ink splattered all over the walls. This was not all, however, for he often found himself surrounded by hideous monsters who jeered insults at him and challenged him to do battle. Sometimes the demons disguised as monks. One of these appeared as his old confessor, Padre Agnostino, who exhorted him to give up his life of asceticism and penance, assuring him that God did not approve of this way of life. And we could read on down, but I think the point is already made. It seems like, if this is true, it seems like that when he talked about God living, this same apparition, this man that appeared as his former confessor, vanished. It had the immediate effect, this is after he said, God lives, of causing the apparition to vanish, leaving no trace behind but a sulfurous stench. It seems that from this, the possibility of demons manifesting in human form. I read this over, and I know that the devil was very subtle. I know he's very clever. I know he's a very good deceiver. And you would be surprised if you would study the occult that that is not all that uncommon. When people call upon Satan and all kind of things go on when they have a black mass, this man had a lot of very unusual kind of things happen to him. And one of the most alarming things that I read in this book regarding Padre Pio was exactly what took place in visions. People were having visions, and they would have visions of Padre Pio when he was still alive. The Bible does tell us in Matthew chapter 17 that both Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus conversed with both of them. So it's possible for somebody that lived in the past to be seen in a vision, but nowhere in the Bible do we see somebody in a vision when they're still alive. I'd like to read something to you, and this is remarkable. Listen to this. This man obviously was involved in heavy occult practices to get the kind of power that he had, to bilocate, to give prophecy, to have these healings. I'd like to read bits and pieces from page 79 all the way over to page 82. About the end of July, a friend of the family wrote a letter to Padre Pio with these words, "To you, Father, we confide the little heart of our Rosetta, that you may present it to the hearts of Jesus and Mary, in order that they restore it as she ought to have at her age." On August the 8th at 2 p.m., Padre Pio appeared in a vision to the child, who at that moment was in the downstairs apartment with her godmother. Rosetta was listening to the radio when she was stricken with a new heart crisis. When she revived from the fainting spell, she saw before her some small white clouds which approached her and fused into one big cloud. This cloud then opened up and she saw the figure of Padre Pio. "Good afternoon, Rosetta," he said. "Don't be afraid, I am Padre Pio," he said, smiling. "You wrote to me to obtain a cure. Instead of answering the letter, I thought it best to come myself. If you will be good, I shall return tonight at 2 a.m. when your parents will also be here, and I shall bless you all." The godmother, who saw the little one start back and heard her exclaim as if in ecstasy, "Oh, Padre Pio, yes, yes, I shall tell it." She hastened to call her parents, who ran to her alarmed and convinced that she was delirious. But with the vanishing of the vision, Rosetta completely revived and told everything. That night there was no way to make her retire early. She was excited. She wanted to wait up for the coming of Padre Pio, who anticipated his visit by 2 hours. "Oh, Mama, he is here," announced the child, staring at one place in the room. "I came ahead of time," said Padre Pio, "to allow you to rest. I did not like to wake you up." Then he took off a glove and showed her his lacerated hand, which was bleeding. Remember, he's a stigmatist. He also showed her pictures of babies he cured. "See, this one was blind and is cured. This one was mute and now speaks. You must tell your mother that she must not cry. I have not come to announce your death, but your cure. I have permission to tell it to you. The Madonna will bring you the cure. She will come to you on the 28th of August at 8:15 in the evening. Prepare a beautiful little altar and above it place her picture." Padre Pio then invited the child to recite with him the Our Father and Hail Mary. The parents and her sisters joined in the prayers, although they saw no one. With his hands still uncovered, he blessed all the family. He disappeared to reappear on August 28th at 8 in the evening to point out to the child the window from which she could see the Madonna. So he's immediately preceding in this vision the appearance of the Virgin Mary. At 8:15, Rosetta began to hear a distant song. She looked anxiously at the ceiling. The singing became more beautiful and distinct as it approached her. It was a chorus of angelic voices that melted her heart and filled her eyes with tears. Finally, there came to the window a great white cloud surrounded by the tiny heads of little angels. The cloud opened and there appeared the Madonna with a marvelous face under chestnut hair and so resplendent with light that the child could not fix her eyes on her. The Madonna was dressed in red with a blue mantle embroidered with gold stars, and she was holding in her arms the child Jesus with blonde hair wrapped in rose-colored swaddling clothes. The Virgin smiled with her ineffable smile, greeting the child affectionately. "I am the Madonna de la Guardia. Be good always, Rosetta. Pray very much, and I shall help you." This apparition took place in the apartment of her godmother, and there was also an old widow who was full of grief over the loss of a son in the war. She was always expecting his return, knowing that he was taken prisoner by the Germans. Rosetta asked the Madonna about him. The Virgin Mary replied that the young man was in purgatory, but that he would soon be released. Okay, further on down, I need to comment on some of these things. Rosetta was still amidst the clouds when Padre Pio reappeared. Now, he reappeared after the Virgin Mary appeared to this young girl. Okay, so this is interesting to me. How could he appear being alive in somebody's vision and then yet before and after the Virgin Mary? And the Virgin Mary is talking about purgatory, which of course we know is unscriptural. That certainly was not the Virgin Mary. It's just so interesting to me to see what the enemy can do. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 28, demons, we learn, have the ability to afflict someone to the place where they cannot see and they cannot speak. I thought about that when I was reading through here, where Padre Pio, in this vision to this young girl, said, "Well, you see this picture of this little baby that I cured? This one was blind. Now, of course, not blind anymore. This one over here was mute, couldn't speak, but not like that anymore." And in Matthew 12, when Jesus drove out demons, the person that was afflicted was able to both see and speak. If I was a devil, I know what I would do. If I could get someone to have relief from some kind of physical affliction so that they would believe in what a man, if it's Padre Pio or Edgar Cayce or whoever, what they're teaching about salvation, well then, that's good for me and bad for them. And it's probably bad for a lot of other people as well, because they would, I'm sure, especially in the case of this young girl that was able to see without pupils, tell other people and the word would spread. So I'm saying this at least in part to point out the fact that since demons can produce sickness, if that demon would leave, it would appear that this person, like Padre Pio, was responsible for the healing. Now, there certainly are, beyond a shadow of a doubt, true, genuine, bona fide healings that take place in our day and age. The Bible refers to the gift of healing and miracles and faith. And the reason that we can distinguish the genuine from the counterfeit is by what the minister is preaching regarding what? Salvation. That's the bottom line. If I was a Catholic and you came knocking on my door, if you handed me a salvation tract and we started to talk out on the street, and I mentioned to you that I'm trusting in Padre Pio for my salvation. After all, he is such a miraculous ministry. All the things he was able to do is just absolutely incredible. People were healed, and he could give these prophecies, and he could pray for people that didn't have any children, and soon afterwards they started having children, and all these unusual things. The odor of perfume would emanate from his body. How would you try to convince me in love? Remember, we are to speak the truth in love, in gentleness and respect. What would you say to me to try to let go of that kind of teaching? To cleave to the idea that Jesus alone is the way. That is something that you need to know, number one, how to reason along those lines, and number two, you need to realize, just for your own benefit, because we're living in a very deceptive age with counterfeit miracles, wonders, and signs, just what the devil is able to do. If I was trying to convince someone that Padre Pio's ministry was not from God, I would point out somebody like Edgar Cayce. I would say, well, I know you're a Catholic and you certainly don't believe in Edgar Cayce's teachings. Obviously, you're Catholic. He would go into trances, and from these trances he was able to come up with a cure for this kind of sickness that this person had. And there have been all kinds of people in the past like Padre Pio and Edgar Cayce. You could reason that way with them. You can show them someone like that and then say this afterwards. Obviously, both the ministry of Edgar Cayce and Padre Pio can't be from God unless God is in confusion. And we know God isn't in confusion. So if God's not in confusion, there must be more than one source for these miracles, signs, and wonders. So if there is, and the scripture even shows that there is, then how can we tell a genuine vision, miracle, and dream from one that is not genuine? And by genuine, I mean coming from God Almighty. We just did a study not very long ago through the book of Acts, and in Acts chapter 27, an angel appeared to the Apostle Paul, and he was certain that the angel was from the true and living God. Did you ever wonder how in the world he could be so dogmatic when he told the people on board that ship that this angel was from God, the God of whom I am and whom I serve? Paul certainly knew that the devil could appear as an angel. It says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This angel carried the same message that God told him would occur in chapter 23, verse 18. So, a true, genuine vision, miracle, or dream, just like you might have expected before I started this sermon, if it's really from God Almighty and God doesn't change, then that message will always be in accord to the Word. Remember this. 2 Timothy 3:16, I hope most of you know that verse. The scripture, that's the Bible, is given for correction, doctrine, training in righteousness, and reproof. It's given for doctrine. So it doesn't really make any difference if somebody has a miraculous ministry, if what they're teaching contradicts what Jesus and the apostles said, then we know there's something definitely wrong with their idea of the source if they're saying that source is God. Because this is from God, and a lot of people that have been influenced by ministries like Padre Pio, they just haven't, unfortunately, taken the time to look into the Word. And we're told to snatch them from the fire. You know, sometimes what we have to do is to create controversy. Sometimes we have to go and rock the boat that someone is asleep in. Did you know that? I want you to know all through the book of Acts, because people's boats were rocked, controversy began, that people got saved. Sometimes you need to create controversy in love to get someone to look into the evidence before they can get saved. We find out that Padre Pio had frequent visits, according from the material that I had, from Jesus and also from Mary. All kind of visitations from both Jesus and Mary. But I find that very strange, because if it was really Mary, then his teachings would not be as they are and as they were. You know, one of the most remarkable things in this man's ministry occurred after he died. He had these wounds in his hands, in his feet, in his side, and on his shoulder. After he died, the wounds healed. Now, how do you like that? After he died, before they put him in the ground, his wounds healed. That's medically impossible. And the Catholic Church is likening that unto the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. A young woman came from Benevento to ask a grace for her husband who had been totally blind. Having heard that Padre Pio had cured many people, this woman had hope for a cure. She asked Padre Pio, who told her that her husband's only hope for salvation was to stay blind, since his blindness was a punishment which our Lord has sent upon him for beating his father. So he's telling this lady that came in behalf of her own husband, your husband's only hope is that he stays blind. I cannot heal him because of what he did in the past. Now, obviously, we don't have to suffer for our salvation. Amen? Jesus suffered for us. He shed his blood on the cross one time, never to be repeated. So teachings like this, we know, are not in accord to the Word of God. Padre Pio said, guess what the link between earth and heaven is? Now, we're talking about the man with all these miracles, all these wonders and signs, who had the ability to correctly prophesy, to bilocate, to get people healed, to appear in visions, that walked around and he would emanate some kind of perfume odor. You know what he said the link between earth and heaven is? The rosary. He said the rosary is the link between heaven and earth. He recommended on page 44 of his packet of photostats that we have devotion to angels. On page 26, he said the Pope is the final word. And he had a lot of Marian or married piety, devotion to Mary, like Alphonsus de Liguori. And he also, again, had the ability to be at two places at the same time. Think about this. Even how many people ever heard of Padre Pio before you came here tonight? Okay, just a handful. Okay, he's not all that popular, but even though you might never run into a person that would be going to an extreme regarding where their trust is, and they would say that they're trusting in Padre Pio for their salvation, I hope you learned something tonight, because, number one, the devil can do a lot of unusual things, a lot of very unusual things. And the only way you won't be devoured by him, because he's prowling around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour, he already has the unsaved, he's after you. You're going to have to be, according to 1 Peter 5, alert and self-controlled. And remember, the starting passage was Hebrews 5:14. It's not always easy to distinguish evil from good. Tell me, if it was your daughter that was blind and she got healed under Padre Pio's ministry and she's able to see without pupils, you would probably be apt to think that was good. That wasn't evil. It's very, very, very important that we realize for our own benefit and for the benefit of those that we're trying to persuade to come out of the darkness into the kingdom of light, that we emphasize what is the person saying regarding salvation. Remember what the Apostle Paul said, Galatians 1:8 and 9? He said, but even if I or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that you received, let him be eternally condemned. As I have already said, So now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Even an angel, any vision, any minister, you can tell if someone's saved or not by what they're teaching regarding salvation. If they're preaching a wrong plan of salvation, they're not saved, according to Galatians 1:8-9. I know Padre Pio was not saved, even though he had miracles in his life, because of what he said about salvation. So we test the validity of a ministry not by the miracles that they have or they don't have, but instead by what they teach regarding salvation. And evil isn't always that distinguishable from good. Joanna Michelson wrote a book entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil. How many people ever read that book? Few people here read that book. That's a very interesting book to get a hold of. Some of the things that the devil was able to do. And again, we learn from that book, just like this book, just what the devil was able to do. I don't mean to sound harsh, but it really is the devil. It's simple as that. It's not God, it's Satan. And we need to expose him. It says to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. We also learned if this book is accurate, demons can actually appear in the form of a person. Isn't that something? We should not and we better not trust Padre Pio for our salvation, because it wasn't Padre Pio that shed his blood on the cross. The Bible teaches there's only one link between heaven and earth, and it's not the rosary, it's Jesus. He has the only name, he's the door, and he's the only mediator. He's the way, only one way. So when we share this information with people, we need to witness in love, in gentleness, in kindness, in respect. And it's important for us to know something about people like Padre Pio. It's important for us to know how to critique ministries that we would say, his ministry was not from God. Well, how do you know it's not from God? I know it's from God because it was my cousin that received a healing. I brought a little pamphlet with me. I'm not going to spend very much time on it, but this is regarding Lourdes, France. There were some visions over there of Mary, and not only visions of Mary, but also a lot of healings that went on as well. I'd like to read the last part of this little booklet. Of the thousands of reported cures over the past century, only 64 have been recognized as miracles. That is 64 definite miracles at Lourdes, France. But let me read on. The latest case, which has reached the miracle consideration stage, concerns an 18-year-old woman from Sicily. The International Medical Committee of 16 doctors from a half a dozen countries ruled this past autumn that there was no known medical explanation for her recovery from terminal bone cancer. When the woman was 11 years old, doctors in her hometown diagnosed a cancerous tumor in her right leg. Radiation therapy was attempted, but the tumor continued to spread, and amputation of the leg was advised as the only hope. The child's mother rejected the suggestion of amputation and placed her hope in prayer and penance. She accompanied her daughter on 6 successive pilgrimages to the shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes. Subsequent examination by the doctors showed that the tumor was diminishing. A following examination determined that it had vanished completely. So this lady was one of 64 that received a definite bona fide miracle of the thousands that were healed at Lourdes. This young girl named Bernadette that seen these apparitions of Mary when she was dying said this, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for me, a poor sinner." So the result of everything that she got out of all those apparitions was that when she was dying, she was looking to Mary and asking Mary to pray for her. How sad it is that the devil has used so successfully just what we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, even in our day and age, counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and has sent multitudes to hell through it. And if you think the Catholic Church has had a lot of visions, you should examine Mormonism. And again, you could say, if all these visions are from God, then why is it the visions of Mormonism would contradict the visions of Catholicism, which would contradict the visions of the Seventh-day Adventist, which would contradict the visions in the Unification Church? So we know there has to be a way, since we're told to test everything, how we can tell the false from the genuine. Let me close this message with this. It's very important that we have knowledge, because in 2 Peter chapter 1 we learn that we're able to live a very fruitful life and receive a rich inheritance and welcome into the eternal kingdom, at least in part because of knowledge. So we need to have the knowledge, but knowledge tends to puff up. And when you learn things like this, we need to be gentle and kind when we reach out to them, but we are still commanded, we have to reach out. And I like to say this, I firmly believe not to witness and not to share some of this information with people that would be appropriate, like this information I related tonight, that would be likened unto spiritual manslaughter. We know what manslaughter is. How about spiritual manslaughter? And you know God is holding you and me accountable for the things we do. And we have to get serious about this because this is extremely serious. People are going to end up in hell. And the reason the devil goes through so much trouble to keep people blinded is because he's the arch enemy of God, and he's our arch enemy. And the counter to darkness and deception is light and truth. And when truth comes out, the deception's gone. And that's how Satan gets people into hell. One of the ways is through these counterfeit miracles, wonders, signs, dreams, visions. Of course, there are many others, like sin. Did you know sin is deceitful? There are a lot of false prophets around and false teachers. And the truth is just the opposite. And it's the only thing that can counter the lie. We must know how to speak the truth, but speak it in a reasonable fashion. We have to be able to reason with people in gentleness and kindness to get them out of that deception. I hope tonight this critique on Padre Pio is beneficial for you. And if you'll never use this material, remember this, that the devil is able to produce remarkable miracles. In our day and age, if we're still here, we find out that people will accept the mark of the beast or the mark of Antichrist because of miracles. Fire coming down out of heaven and a statue speaking, all through satanic power. And isn't it remarkable what the Bible says the devil can do? So we better be alert.